so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com. If you love your TV and your entertainment, visit Decider.com. It's a great website. How are you, Alexander?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thanks very much. Have to ask you something. Wendy and I were talking about this the other day, and we wanted to get your input on this. I don't remember years ago, this time of year, where almost every television show has like a seasonal finale where they stop their broadcasting late November and then pick it up again in January or February. Is this a fairly new concept?
I would say in the past couple of years, it's changed pretty dramatically, particularly in the rise of streaming, because you have these streaming shows that are dropping all the time. They drop the entire season versus the broadcast season, which traditionally was about, you know, 22, 26 episodes, depending on what the order is.
Yeah.
And they would always have a break there. But I think what they realized is they could drive more viewers by giving the sense of not, okay, you're going to start in September and we're going to build towards May with a bunch of breaks, but we're going to start in September and we're going to build towards late November or December. And that's where this big cliffhanger stopping point is. And then we'll come back for the second half of the season after the holidays are over. So they're trying to capture a little bit of that streaming magic, but on a broadcast schedule.
That kind of bugs me because, like, I watch This Is Us, New Amsterdam, all these shows, and they know what's going to happen because they've already made the episodes. I don't like that they're making us wait.
Mm-hmm. I have always been a fan of the more direct, do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Method.
Like, I would rather watch 13 weeks of 13 episodes and that's it for the season. But oftentimes it just comes down to budgetary concerns. You know, they've given a show a certain budget. It is budgeted for 22 episodes. They need to make markers on the network side in terms of selling ads for shows. So they can't just do 13 episode seasons. In a weird way, the CW, I don't know necessarily pioneering is probably too strong of a word, but they really pushed that early because they don't get as many ad dollars as everybody else. They don't get as many viewers as everybody else. So they've been able to experiment with that, and they've been really successful with that for the point that you're saying, which is it just drives your very direct tune-in for, you know, I'm a big fan of iZombie. I can spend these 13 weeks watching iZombie, and then I'm done, you know? And I think the networks, the bigger ones, are starting to catch on to that.
I'm sure in their mind also they're saying, well, you know, you got a month of holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. People are busy and distracted. Why burn out a good episode that means something to the legacy of the series during that holiday break, right?
Because we have DVRs. Who watches live TV anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely the reasoning. The funny thing, though, is then you go ahead and you look at Netflix's schedule, where this week is relatively light, but the next two Fridays are basically what we've been referring to around the office as Netflix apocalypse. It's just so many shows, so many movies coming out at the same time. Even to the point, and these are all originals, mind you, then there's the stuff that they've actually taken on to the point that they're dropping Avengers Infinity War on Netflix on Christmas. So the streaming services are not afraid of this, and they're more than willing to drop content because they know what people are doing is they're home and they're watching TV with their families. So at some point, the broadcast networks, I think, are going to start to catch on to that piece as well.
I have to tell you, there is all of a sudden hope on the networks. I am loving a lot of the ABC, NBC, CBS shows that are out there now. And I'm enjoying The Conners. I watched it again, and I have to tell you, I'm not missing Roseanne.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling that way.
I thought I would definitely miss her. Everybody is totally picking up the slack,
good.
And it's really funny.
That's excellent. Good, good, good.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, the network comedies, they're not doing great in terms of the ratings, but they're also not doing terribly. And the quality, as you said, I think critics agree, has been up across the board. And again, I think that comes down to the fracturing of the viewing space, where they know there's so much competition. You can't just put whatever on TV anymore and expect people will just show up for a star.
Yeah.
There needs to be something better than that, more quality.
Alex, explain this to us if you can. Every year during the holidays, they show Christmas specials from 25, 30, and 40 years ago. They'll show Rudolph. They'll show Charlie Brown. They'll show an old Lucy episode, a Christmas Lucy episode. And the ratings are generally pretty good. Now, in this day and age when you can record anything and watch it whenever you want, how is that possible that those ratings are still as solid as they are?
I think a lot of people still watch TV live. And per what we were saying earlier, a lot of times you're home with your family, you want a break from cooking or yelling at each other or whatever it is you're doing, and you turn on a holiday special and you know, okay, it's 8 o'clock, we're just going to watch Rudolph, everybody's going to chill out and do that. Even though a lot of that stuff is available on streaming, people like watching it. It's comforting. It's a tradition, and I think there's something to be said for that.
I love it. Every time one of those specials is on, I go out of my way to see it, but I'm amazed so many other people are like-minded. I would just think the way people schedule their time now, they wouldn't be watching it, but then I see the ratings, and they're really high, so good for them.
There's also the sense, I believe we just put up a piece about this, one of our holiday special experts, Brett Wright, wrote about this, that the Rankin Bass specials aren't available free on streaming. You actually have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of thing that if they're going to pop up, Frosty the Snowman or whatever, if it's on TV, it's free. You'd rather do that than pay the $3 Prime Video or something like that. Why not?
I will tell you that the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown special, my 19-year-old son Michael was very upset he missed it. And I said, well, why don't you go find it on Netflix or something? He's like, I missed it.
Yep.
So these particular specials, you do try and see them live as they happen.
Right. Alex, they have canceled Daredevil. Daredevil's been on Netflix for, 3 years now, and now it will no longer mm-hmm. be. What happened there?
Well, that's a big question. There's a lot of theories flying around, and we've had a bunch of stuff that's went up on the site already today and certainly discussing it around the office. Ostensibly, they just decided their statement said they wanted to close this chapter on a high note, was the quote. And a lot of people agree this was a pretty critically acclaimed last season of the show. They also noted that while the series on Netflix has ended, the three existing seasons will remain on the service for years to come, while the Daredevil character will live on in future projects for Marvel. So the suspicion everybody has is that Disney is launching their Disney Plus streaming service sometime next year. The thing that is happening there, and this is to simplify it as much as possible because it gets very complicated in terms of the business stuff, but Disney movies and Disney TV, excuse me, Marvel movies and Marvel TV are slightly different parts of the company and they don't always agree on things.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV shows that are going to be on the Disney streaming service all come from the movies end of things. There's going to be a Loki TV show with Tom Hiddleston. There's rumored to be a Scarlet Witch TV show with Elizabeth Olsen coming directly out of the movies. And then you have these Marvel Netflix shows that are separate and have never been integrated with the Marvel movies that are in theaters. So the suspicion is as soon as Disney Plus said, yep, we're doing all these Marvel TV shows, Netflix, who has the right to cancel these TV shows, including Iron Fist, which has been canceled, Daredevil has been canceled, and Luke Cage has been canceled, basically decided to pull the plug. They didn't want to be an advertisement for another streaming service.
Yeah.
That hasn't been confirmed by any means, but that's certainly the strongest rumor that I've heard.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense.
I'm on Decider.com right now and see the good news about Preacher being renewed. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, there's going to be a fourth season of Preacher. I believe they're moving production to Australia, which is going to make it a little cheaper, which is good for them. But as you know, Wendy, they ended on a crazy note at the end of last season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited they'll be picking it up.
It's such a good show.
Yeah. And now there will be more kangaroos on it.
Crikey.
That's they excellent. Recast all the actors yeah. as kangaroos and koalas. It's a weird choice.
We want that. All right, more discussion about television with Alexander Zeldin from Decider.com. It is us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zeldin from Decider.com. Are you a TV fan? You got to visit Decider.com. Alex, this is something Wendy and I were discussing off the air, but let's bring you into it, too. A couple days ago, we started talking about Julie Chen and her involvement in the show The Survivor over at CBS.
Big Brother. I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
Yeah.
And she started calling herself Julie Chen Moonves on the last few episodes of last season. And my husband and I were talking about this, Bill, and I, like, will she come back? Les Moonves is out. It was announced yesterday that she will be the host coming, I believe, January 19th when Big Brother kicks in again. That surprises me.
It's coming back on January 21st.
Okay.
It's season 2 of Celebrity Big Brother. So she will be behind the camera then. I believe she's still calling herself Julie Chen Moonves. For those who haven't been paying attention to the story, things got even a little worse with Leslie Moonves. There was a big story that went up a couple of days ago alleging more sexual misconduct. Here's my personal take on it, is she has a different career than her husband and shouldn't necessarily be judged on that. personally,
then why add his name? Why add his name all of a sudden?
That is my problem. I feel like she should stop doubling down on protecting Leslie Moonves. If she wants to have her own career, and she is perfectly within her rights to do it, you know, stop. You don't have to stop associating yourself with your husband on a personal level, but on a professional level, keep it separate.
And she's never used Moonves before, so now it's kind of like a passive-aggressive, you know, way to say...
It's a direct provocation, I think, frankly. And it's very unfortunate and certainly takes a lot of the attention away from Big Brother, which I know you're a big fan of, and a lot of other people are as well.
What if she changed her name to Julie Chen Moonves Cosby Spacey? Would that surprise you?
I definitely turn the conversation in another direction.
Yeah, I think it would. I know it would. There's a show coming on, Alex, inspired by Blade Runner, but from a very different direction. What is this show?
Ooh, that's a great question. So Blade Runner and anime are two of my non-fortes. They're really sort of blind spots for me.
It says on my sheet you've never seen Blade Runner. You've never seen the movie Blade Runner?
This is the most embarrassing fact about myself.
What?
Is I have just neglected to watch Blade Runner.
It's really good.
Alex, go watch it right now. Wait.
Okay, well, you'll just hang on the air while I watch the...
Yeah.
And the sequel, too, as well.
Yeah.
You guys have time for that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, there is going to be a Blade Runner anime, which is a joint production of Adult Swim and Crunchyroll, which are two huge names in terms of anime. It's going to be created by some of the biggest names from other anime projects, people who have worked on Ghost in the Shell and other things, as well as some folks who worked on a couple of short films that led into Blade Runner 2049, the sequel.
Yeah.
So the anime fans in the audience, in the office, specifically Kayla Cobb is our anime expert here. I could see her head explode from across the office as this news came out, because if you're an anime fan, if you're a Blade Runner fan, this is just so a confluence of so many things. We don't necessarily have a time for the debut, but it does seem like it's going to be 13 half-hour episodes. It's going to be called Blade Runner Black Lotus.
Interesting.
And I like the name.
Do we know, does it follow the Deckard character that Harrison Ford played, or do we not know that yet?
They're being a little cagey about it, but they said you'll definitely see some of the characters from the Blade Runner movies in this show.
Excellent. That sounds good to me. There's some news about the show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I have never watched that.
I haven't either, but my family goes nuts for it. They enjoy the show immensely. What do we know about the new news about it?
Well, for those of you who didn't watch it, it was absolutely one of my favorite shows of last year. It's a show on Prime Video from Amy Sherman-Palladino, who is creator of Gilmore Girls and the very underrated Bunheads. It follows a comedian in New York. She figures out that she wants to be a stand-up comedian. It's very loosely but not specifically based on Joan Rivers and her career. And she deals with a lot of relationship drama, but it's very funny. It's very fast. It's incredibly well filmed. Got a ton of awards and critics acclaim last year when it came out. The second season is coming out this Wednesday, December 5th, on Prime Video. A little bit of an unfortunate news, the premiere, which we've seen and we reviewed here at Decider, is a huge misstep for the series.
Oh, no.
So I would not recommend getting into that, but it picks it up very quickly after that. Huh. So if you're a fan of the series, if you are returning it, definitely stick through the first episode, because things get good, particularly when Zachary Levi, who some of you might know from Chuck and other shows, shows up as a romantic interest. It gets a lot more fun then. But at the very least, if you never checked out the first season, I highly recommend it.
All right, and I have time for one more question, and here's what it is. This guy, George R.R. Martin, the guy who is at the helm of Game of Thrones, has another show coming out, and this is from work he wrote prior to Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a novella called Night Flyers, and Sci-Fi is rolling it out on an interesting schedule starting on Sunday at 10 p.m. They're going to air the 10 episodes over 5 days, then a break, and 5 days. Or you can stream it all immediately on Sci-Fi's website as soon as it's done. I'm sad to say I've seen the first episode, and it's not great.
Nah.
But if you are missing the bloody mess that Game of Thrones can become sometimes.
Yeah.
Characters are taken out very quickly in very shocking ways. So if you're looking for a bloody space drama, that might be your jam. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but completists might want to check it out.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for hanging out with us, Alex. It sounds like a lot of good stuff coming up on TV soon, and we appreciate your input. Thanks so much.
Thanks, as always, for having me on.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
It's Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we still have that $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's to give away, so be listening for that Paul Simon classic when you hear it. Caller number 10-312-981-7200. It's Bill, it's Wendy at 720 WGN.